Pod Culture, episode 332, The Con Job. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 100,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture.
Hi, this is Erin Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and you're listening to Pod Culture. Enjoy.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to Pod Culture. I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
I'm Christina.
And Adam is off on special assignment. What he's doing, I don't know.
He's on sabbatical. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Yeah, he said to hell with us.
Oh, no, he did not.
No, I think he's friends in town, something like that, going out to eat. So what has everyone been up to, Glenn?
Lots of flying around. In the helicopter, in the heat. Ugh. Yay.
But you have a giant fan over your head, so that's all right.
But you're closer to the sun.
Hope the wax on the wings doesn't melt.
Oh.
Yeah, why do people, you ever notice that on like military projects or whatever you see in sci-fi, it's like Project Icarus or something. Why do you name your secret project that? Because it never ends well.
Right.
You're setting yourself up for fail.
Right.
Because they think that the average reader or viewer is too stupid to catch it. It's
right.
An inside joke for those of you that are well-read.
It just sounds like a cool name.
Yeah, and it does sound cool. Yeah, I mean, you got that. I mean, it sounds cool until you stop and think that it's a failure and you're going to die.
Exactly.
So you've been flying a lot?
Yeah, flying a lot. You know, it's very difficult to get across the bridge with all this crazy traffic.
Unless you're in a helicopter.
Unless you're in a helicopter, yeah. But the good thing is, even though it's misery going to and from work, I'm getting a lot of overtime because I get to videotape everybody else and their misery going across the bridge.
Yeah, they had something screwy coming off the Second Street Bridge, and you know where I've got to park.
Yeah.
Right there across from the Yum Center. They had cones down that turn lane, so you could either only go straight, you know, coming off the bridge or straight going on it. You couldn't turn in that bridge. So I always had to, like, go down, bust a U, and then come back up second.
Luckily, I know, like, three ways to get home because
bridges.
Yeah, about every other day, they've changed which ramp is closed. So you just don't know. It's like, I need to avoid the traffic, so which way do I go today?
Right.
Yeah, for our listeners on Vlog, I mean, I know, Glenn, you're a camera operator on a traffic copter kind of thing.
Well, yeah, TV news helicopter, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of construction going on the roads around our area, so it's friggin' nuts.
It is. It's crazy. And, of course, with all the things going on locally, we had the little car race in Sparta.
Yeah.
So thanks to that, I wasn't able to do as much as I wanted to on this previous Saturday.
Stupid car racing.
Hey. I like it, stupid car racing.
What I do is very similar to car racing. We go to one spot, and we turn left for a couple hours. You know?
Drive fast,
that's
turn
cool.
left, man.
Drive fast.
Unless you're on a road course, and then there's some right turns in there, but not too many. Oh, yeah, you alluded to something that I think we're all going to talk about here in just a little bit. Christina, you been up to anything, man?
You just call me man.
Ma'am.
No, you did not.
Ew, well, when I get done with the editing.
Enunciate.
Not a whole lot. I'm glad I have my voice back. Lost it this past weekend. Found it again. And it's a little dusty. It had rolled underneath the couch, gotten a little dusty.
But is Brad glad that you got your voice back? That's
probably because I sounded I sounded like a frog for half a week.
You know, yeah, you kind of lost because you, again, like what we're going to be.
Well, I was at like anytime you're sitting under an air conditioning vent, or like if you're in the car in front of the air conditioning for a long period of time, you know, strange things happen to your voice. But other than the stuff that we're going to be talking about, not a whole lot listening to a new audiobook series and found some new music and the same stuff I'm always doing. I'm always looking for new books and music. And got a new game. Be proud of me. But yeah, little of this, little of that.
Little bit of an honorary game, too, after it asked you something.
Well, I'm trying to be healthy, and there's this thing with work. If you get the Your Shape fitness game for the Xbox 360 Kinect, you can earn up points for work, and you can spend it on stuff that you wouldn't expect to be able to spend it on, like Batman Arkham Asylum.
Oh.
Yes.
I bought it. I got in.
Awesome.
Game of the Year edition, only.
Yeah, so
that's the one to get.
Yeah, so it's like, if you can earn these points up by doing stuff like you would almost normally do anyway, well, you know, you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my plan. That was my... it'll end up killing me, but it's worth it.
Anything else? Yeah?
I want to put a plug in for the Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
If there's any listeners that haven't checked out the Pod Culture page on Facebook... I know I've taken it upon myself to be posting funky stuff on there. I've posted some links to some videos. Like just today, I posted a link to a 1969 Spider-Man fan film.
Nice.
Yeah, I think you just saw that the very first Spider-Man fan film or something.
Yeah, and I watched this on like 11 minutes long. For the special effects sequences, they're using like a little Mego Spider-Man, you know.
Nice.
No way.
It is awesome. And this must have been like... pre-spandex, the materials that he's made out of are, you know, really...
He's like, that shit's hot.
Yeah. So, you got to think, it was 1969, so there's a chick in there, this super mini skirt, and I'm like, when did those go out of style? You know, what's up with that?
I don't think mini skirts ever really went out of
MJ
style.
MJ or Stacy?
No, she was just a worker at the Daily Bugle.
Oh, okay.
Which, this had the same problem that all the old TV shows had, the old Spider-Man show and stuff, is they either don't use a supervillain or they just make up their own cheesy supervillain. It's like Spider-Man has a great rogues gallery. I mean, even back in 69, he had a great rogues gallery. Not sure a lot of them would have taken a lot of effort, but, you know, to me it was more like reading an old Spider-Man coloring book. You know, how they would just do, you know, it's all kind of little kiddie, and then they've got, you know, some cheesy made-up supervillain. It was kind of like
that's
but
cool.
But it was a lot of fun to watch, and you should definitely check it out. If you have any nostalgia for Spider-Man, then it's only 11 minutes.
Okay.
It's free.
Yeah, you and Adam have been posting a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah, and today I went through and posted some of my costumes I've done in the past. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of spandex, do it. You won't be sorry. It's adorable.
Have you posted pictures of the you and the Pinhead?
I have not. I haven't run across any. I need to.
Oh, you need
go.
To.
Surely we got those.
We had to.
That was a freaking epic.
I was looking through all my loose pictures.
Yeah.
And I didn't see any there, but I'm sure I've got some in an album somewhere. So I'll have to dig them up and scan
Brilliant.
Them in. So, yeah, I put a picture of me as the Sandman, the DC Comics Sandman, and as Ghost Rider. So, and I've got tons of others. But,
fabulous.
And then. Long-time listeners may remember we've mentioned before a couple of the fan films that some of us worked on back in the day, in the college days. The one we talked about the most was Dick Tracy Meets the Green Hornet, but there was another epic mishmash of
like
characters.
Like 2.5 hours.
Yes.
Like,
they're not talking little 15-minute fan films.
No.
They're talking full-length feature films, special effects, soundtrack, dubbing,
I don't
everything.
Know how special they were. But
yeah, special ed effects.
Pretty much. I like that. Special ed effects. That's awesome.
Oh, my God. We're going to be sued.
Next from Short Bus Studios.
Oh, my God.
But I posted some really rare, never-before-seen, behind-the-scenes photos from the making of Indiana Jones and the Search for Who Knows What.
Do you want to see Glenn in a Robin costume? Do it.
Yeah.
Didn't we do that for Guilty Pleasures episode 300 or something?
Yes.
You think?
It was fabulous.
Yeah. So now there's a little behind the scenes. You actually get a sample of it because nothing about it has ever been on the web before and before now. Now, the Dick Tracy Green Hornet.
We did have the trailer for Dick Tracy Green Hornet before.
Yeah, I made a trailer for that.
Andy
it's
was here.
Posted on my YouTube channel. But I think I put a link to that on the...
I think it's been in our, we can find it.
If not, I'll post it again. But
fabulous.
But yeah, so you guys feel free. Be brutal. I mean...
It's fun. That's the whole point, is it's fun.
And the page is facebook.com/podculture.
All right. So check it out. Friend us and see who knows what other weird stuff we'll post on there.
And there's links on the actual podculture.com site, too. You need one for TARDIS Interruptus and one for podculture, regular main show. So
cool.
All right. Let's see. As for myself, other than what we're going to talk about here in just a little bit, haven't been up to a whole lot other than the fact that this week was a little weird because we had a holiday fall right in the middle of the week.
Yes.
So we kind of had two Fridays.
And two Mondays.
Yeah, no, that's the drawback.
Yeah.
So we kind of had two Fridays. Great. Yay. You know, you work 2 days, off a day, and then you go back. So it's like a Monday.
I kind of liked it.
It's two Mondays. You know, the whole... Two sides of the, you know, you don't like have two days, you know?
You don't have time to get burned out. You don't have time to hit Wednesday and go, oh, my God, I'm not going to make it.
I know. The friggin' load at work has been crazy.
Well, I think, too, because we were so busy last weekend that it didn't really feel like we had a weekend.
That's true.
So, yeah. Like, this whole week has just been kind of a blur.
And, just you know, not in, like, the flash, fast, super running, you know, red and blue blur. Oh, wait a minute. That's Smallville.
That got away from me, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. So, since it's getting away from me, obviously, let's shut the hell up, and we will get into the show right now.
We're not crazy. We're just tired.
That too.
I think the party's down this way. Here we go. Room 1327.
1327? I stayed in this room last year. You wouldn't believe what happened to me in there. There was this chick, and she came
up. Hey, I do not need that visual image, all right? Let's just go inside.
All right.
Hey, can I get one of those drinks? Whatever it is, the purple stuff. It's bubbling. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, there she is. Take it off.
Whoa! That's not right.
I did not know you could pierce that. Wow.
A nerd, a geek, who beat the favorite stars with howls and shrieks. But when the dawn marveling at Bruce Campbell's chin, the room party's open, real fun begins. Freaking out the mundane to several noobs, by eating live, got a Klingon boobs. Cleavage and food make a wonderful pair, and you can find them at room parties everywhere, cause... Like they're going to war. They like to dress as Centauri, Brown Nuts and Borg, Batgirl, Wonder Woman, and Seven of Nine. Drinking things from where the warm cornones shine. Princess Leia, slave girl with a Death Star plan. And even Warner's Bass Bunny for the furry fan. Then again, I think the trippiest side I'd see is when the hot fan girl dresses up like me, cuz... The place is packed, and Rob Baldur's eating cheese whiz off a girl's rack. But before I decide what I want to do, to start screaming next season, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Keeps coming all kinds of wacky get-ups. This one is dressing like a smurf with a ninja setup. And there's a couple pirates with hooks for hands. I guess they won't get to quote Ginger or Marianne. You might see a couple dressed like Leela and Fry, and you may never catch a geek without at least one die. And they got rum and some Romulan ale. But go easy, cause that stuff will make you grow a tail. It's really not a joke, but you don't have to go far to see a Klingon and a Vulcan walk into a bar. So if you wanna live like a geek sometime, come and party like it's $29.99, cause...
Wow, what a bunch of freaking losers.
Ugh, mundanes.
Dude, don't even worry about them.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Football.
Geeks, we play it for weeks. This robot has a dumb mistake. Get loose, y'all. Look at Cheryl now. Everybody, everybody, she's naked now. We got juice, y'all, and tequila, y'all. Everybody, everybody, come and feel, y'all. Get it out now and get the vodka out.
Looks like Captain Jack Harkness.
Figures.
And we are back.
Welcome back.
You know, we talked in the open about something that all of us have done this weekend. And let's go ahead and get into it. So what is that? You know, it's summertime. What happens in summertime? It gets pretty freaking hot. But it's also convention time.
Yay.
So,
favorite time of the year.
Yeah.
I would think, but no. Nobody needs that.
Yeah. Louisville doesn't get, you know, this area doesn't have a lot of conventions. We used to get some Star Trek stuff in the area, but that's kind of faded off. Now we really only have like two or three in the area per year, and two of them are on the same damn weekend.
Well, for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They conflicted, which is awful. Because we love them both. We want to go to both of them.
Oh,
and,
right.
And they were just down the street from each other.
No kidding. Yeah, I could have used my parking space from work for one. There was two conventions. One was, of course, Derby City Comic Con, mm-hmm. which Christina and I went to last year.
I was a guest last year.
It was lovely.
And mm-hmm. it was great. You know, it's a nice one-day con, nice mm-hmm. dealer's rooms, got some guests, that kind of thing. Really, really nice. But this year, it conflicted with Fright Night Film Fest / Fandom Fest, which is kind of like two conventions all kind of rolled
into one. It's like four conventions rolled into one.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on. It's like a little mini Dragon Con
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Yeah, take a drink. So, yeah, we were at that. You kind of were up in the air about what you were going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to take off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was going to go Friday night to Fandom Fest, or Friday night, and then Saturday during the day I was going to go to the Derby City Comic Con, and then Saturday night I was going to go to Fright Night, and then Sunday I was going to go back to Fright Night. But I was only able to get off on Sunday. And the guy that covers for me had knee surgery on Friday, and was unavailable. So,
bless him.
And then I find out that not only am I... See, I should have just been on call that weekend. I was just going to be off just in case, so I wouldn't be on call.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find out, oh, there are plans to fly on Saturday. I'm like, okay, it's going to be right in the middle of everything, but whatever, you know, it's just a flight, right? No, they wanted to fly twice. They wanted to fly at 2 o'clock and again at 6 o'clock.
Oh, so that's your whole day.
So that's my whole day. Yeah. And then we were flying to Sparta to cover
the NASCAR race.
And on the way back, we saw this huge plume of smoke. And there was a recycling center fire that made this giant, giant black plume of smoke that was coming out of New Albany and looming over the west end of Louisville.
Yeah, I saw your picture on Facebook. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there at Fandom Fest going, holy crap, there's something going on in New Albany.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It was impressive. I mean, I've seen a lot of things, but this was pretty impressive. So then we stayed over that, then stayed over that, and then there were plans to stay till 11:30.
Ew.
But we only stayed till about 10:30 because the helicopter broke.
Did it really break, or did you have a little fun with the...
No, it was too late for that. I would have done that earlier. No, the generator went out.
Oh, my gosh.
So no generator, no TV camera. No TV camera, no reason to be flying.
Right.
So we landed, and wow, that was that. So, yeah, so quite a day. But I did manage to get up early and go over to the Derby City Comic Con for... 2.5, nearly 3 hours.
Which in and of itself is amazing that he got up early.
Early, yeah.
But it's for a con.
Yeah.
Right. So you know this thing had to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it was cool. And it was inexpensive. It was only like $10 to get in, yeah, for the day. You know, so I figured, okay, even if I can't stay all day, it's only $10.
Right.
I'll go there, I'll see some people, and it'll be cool. And I went around and saw everything. I had just barely enough time to go see everything, and... talked to a bunch of people that I knew and chat, and it was a lot of fun, but it was like all the time I'm watching my clock because I can't be late because I knew we had to launch, you know.
Yeah.
I had to be in the air. So it was very difficult to leave, but I enjoyed it, and I hope to be back. You know, maybe I'll try to be a guest again next year or whatever, but I couldn't do it because, one, I didn't know at the time if I could get off work,
right,
and two, there was the issue with Fright Night, and I wanted to attend both of them, so we'll see.
Yeah, and they just got bought, too, didn't they? I think another group has bought Derby City Comic Con.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I saw something about that. Our friend Abby that we saw that did the this amazing...
She's fantastic.
...steampunk Wonder Woman-looking costume.
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Gorgeous.
Wow. Oh, it's awesome.
I have to check that out.
Yeah. It was really cool. She came over to... She was at Derby City Comic Con, and then... came over to Fandom Fest, so that was pretty good.
Cool. Well, I guess I could talk about Derby City for a few,
right,
since we're on.
Let's
it.
See what you got there with Derby City.
I ran into the guys that have a show called Louisville Arcade. It's a free-to-play arcade thing. You go there and all the machines are set on free and you can play vintage arcade games.
Where the hell is that?
It's going to be a convention.
Oh, okay.
March 8th through 10th, 2013.
Yeah.
In Louisville at the Ramada Plaza.
Brad's
in Louisville,
going.
Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. The used to be the Executive East and West, or is that?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure where that is, but it's LouisvilleArcade.com.
Brad's going.
And they're on Facebook and Twitter and everything, but it's Louisville Arcade. LouisvilleArcade.com.
Especially if they might have a classic Star Wars.
Oh, that would be
machine.
Cool. They probably say on their website. I haven't been to the website yet, but the guys had a few games set up there, free
cool.
to play, and you know, people were at their booth playing games and stuff. And I chatted with them, told them about the podcast, and said I'd let everybody know. So it's March 8th
local.
Or 10th.
Yeah, awesome.
So, yeah, if anybody's local and into retro gaming,
that's cool.
That should be really cool. Let's see. Also,
I see something over there that looks oddly familiar-ish.
I picked up these little postcards. They're pretty cool.
Aww.
This guy had art of classic cars. And you'd think, Glenn, you're into classic cars? Well, I'm into classic cars when they're the Batmobile or the Mach 5. So these were postcards. And he had a bunch of others, but of course, these are the two I had to have. I mean,
I'd be like, one of each for my dad, please.
You know, I was never like a Corvette kid or whatever. I was like, I want a Mach 5 when I grow up.
I want an orange 69 Dodge Charger.
I can't imagine why.
I want a 60s.
Too bad they wrecked them all.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's like one or two an episode or something, I think is what they did. So.
Yeah. And let's see. This will also be kind of show and tell here.
Which works really great for an audio podcast.
Exactly. There was a... guy named Sam Fliegel, illustrator. He had a neat thing. He did zombie portraits. I did not have a zombie portrait done, but he would take a digital picture of you.
Carly
and then
would love that.
Draw a portrait of you as a zombie.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that was really
cool. Pod culture zombies.
I've got his card here, so we could do that.
That'd be so cool.
But he said actually his biggest request is people send in their wedding photos and get zombie wedding photos.
That's creepy and fabulous.
Yes.
I know people that would do that.
We need to take pictures for the damn show anyway.
I keep saying.
The reason I bring this up is he had a bin of original illustrations, and a lot of them were like the Marvel zombies and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. But he had one that wasn't a zombie, and it just struck me. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I was like, you know, I wouldn't mind supporting an artist with some original art. And I got this original Iron Man painting.
Nice.
It's pretty
slick. That's beautiful, yeah.
Well, you're a big Iron Man fan anyway.
Yeah, I'm a big Iron Man fan. And I'll try to get a picture of it up on the website so people don't have to just go, huh, wonder what that looked like. But it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. He used the watercolor dyes like they used to color comics with.
Yeah.
And it's got a real painterly look to it, but then the real crisp lines like a comic illustration. I just thought it was pretty neat.
See, I'm so sorry. My brain goes to Instant Musical, and I'm thinking West Side Story jets and sharks move when I see that, and I'm so sorry.
Like a dance movie.
Do you see it now? Do you see it now, Brad? Now he can't unsee
it. Maybe he used it for photo reference. He's a little odd. But,
no, I think it's great, though. I like the style. I like the colors.
And his website's samfliegel.com.
When you're a repulsor jet, you're a repulsor jet all the way?
Stop it.
Let's see here. What else do I got?
Glenn's digging through a large pile of geek.
Stuart Sager was there again this year. Okay. You'll recognize him. He did that Green Lantern illustration
very
on the wall
nice.
There,
yeah.
Right above all the Pod Culture Awards there.
Yeah, our little geek mantle.
The giant shelf of Pod Culture Awards. Okay, it's not that big, but but he did that neat.
Two. One's a geek spin.
Okay. He did that cool Green Lantern illustration you've had up for a long time now. He was a guest at my convention back in 2004.
Mm-hmm. And, I think that's where I got that.
Yeah.
Glenn
and we've known each other since then. He's a really talented guy. And he actually just sold one of his illustrations to Warner Brothers to be used on a new Batman shirt that's coming out this August.
Nice.
So I can't wait until that
comes
out.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
You buy an extra one, have him sign it next time you see
it? Yeah.
Yeah, and frame
it. Got to support him. That's awesome. Because it's funny because I was like, dude, you should be doing some Batman stuff. And he's like, oh, I just sold a design for a Batman shirt.
That's really cool.
That's really cool. And he introduced me to a friend of his. They're both from the Indianapolis area. And this guy's Gavin Smith, and he did this book, Human City. And I was real impressed by it. He wrote it and illustrated it and published it himself.
Wow.
And obviously a lot of hard work went into this.
Yeah, that's it's a nice, it's a comic book.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you'd call it comic book.
It's a comic. But it's a black and white, but, you know, it's got some great illustrations, and he said he did that himself, and he was now able to, because of that work, as a resume, he was able to quit his job and is doing that full-time now.
Wow.
It's got a neat concept, because it's got a whole, like, zombie wolf and cub kind of
thing
going on.
It's like Lone Wolf and Cub in a comic book world where mutants have taken over.
Oh, wow.
So in the first issue, there's a super team, and their arch nemesis has released these bombs that turn people into mutants. And this one guy is, as far as he knows, the only hero that's left, and he's trying to protect this baby.
Little crying baby on the cover.
He's trying to protect this baby because it may hold the key to resistance to becoming a mutant.
Well, resistance is futile.
But a neat story, neat illustrations, and, you know, congratulations for him to be able to make that step. And he apparently went to the Joe Kubert School of comic art. So
kind of has that look.
So that's really cool. So that was something neat I picked up. I just read that today, actually, and it was very enjoyable.
I like how, you know, with it being self-published, of course, it doesn't have a UPC on it, but it's got the QR code on the back.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty cool. And I also met a man who I'm trying to remember his name here. Terrence Hanley did these really neat... They look like classic 50s coloring books.
Yeah.
And they are coloring books, but one of them is Monsters and Aliens of America. And the other one is Mothman, Aliens and Flying Saucers.
Uh-huh.
And what these are, they're really nicely coloring books with really cool illustrations of actual alien encounters. These are all based on... You know, historical records of people and the creatures they've supposedly seen. And he said some of these have never been seen illustrated before.
Nice.
And there's a neat retro Mothman kind of psychedelic music poster or something, you know.
Right there.
That's weird. I like it.
And I just thought it was a really unique concept and really well executed. I mean, it's just got that...
That's really cool.
That classic alien...
And who would have thought?
Yeah.
Coloring books.
Coloring books. So I bought myself two coloring books.
You going to color?
I'm not going to color them. I'm just going to keep them. I had them autographed and whatever, but...
That's cool.
Really neat. And he, I think, plans on coming back next year and having a third coloring book by then.
Nice.
So.
You could photocopy a page and color it and send it to him.
Yeah, I could.
And then scan it and put it up on the site.
Yeah.
Or up on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's even got the chupacabra.
I'll
no book is complete without the chupacabra.
Sucker. I love it. Who says Exile didn't teach you nothing?
That's right. So that's just some of the neat stuff that I encountered at Derby City Comic Con.
Fantastic. Next year, I wish they would have it like 2 days so you have a little more... leeway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're going to be the same weekend, I hope it could be 2 days so you have a little more time.
Yeah, or, you know, we could have worked something out, because we didn't, we couldn't go to Derby City because of we were at Fright Night or Fandom Fest or whatever.
Or, like, I'll stay at Fandom Fest and you go to Derby City since you're more comic book, you know, you can do that and I'll stay at Fandom Fest.
Yeah, so, you also went to Fandom Fest for Fright Night. It was it's gotten huge since the last time that you and when you and I were there. I think it was back in episode 60.
And we
something.
Only saw a fraction of it.
Yeah.
We didn't do all the to all the gaming and everything like that. We just
in the after hours stuff.
Now, I went to it last year and it was pretty big. It was pretty big. It spanned like two parts of the hotel there off of. Fern Valley, what's
okay,
that
okay, yeah, the used to be a Holiday Inn, and now it's just Fern Valley Hotel or something.
So it actually was in on both sides of the road. It was that big that it, you know, so it is bigger this year, but it was pretty big last year, too. And last year, on one side of it, the air went out.
I remember that.
I remember you saying something about that.
And that was horrible, and I was like, well, at least it won't be like that this year. And then I was not able to make it Saturday, even though I really wanted to. I was busy making overtime.
making some bucks.
Yeah, making some bucks instead of spending some bucks. I guess that should be good, but I would have rather been at the convention. but I heard it was very packed and very hot on Saturday.
Depends on where you were.
Right.
We kind of froze a little bit on those days.
Right.
I noticed it was a little... a little less crowded on Sunday, and one of the dealer's rooms or guest rooms, whatever it was nice and cool.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff was a little warm, but one of the major halls was very nice and cool. I was happy after being in a hot helicopter all day Saturday. I was happy to be in the air conditioning convention.
Nice and cool.
Yeah, but they had just an amazing lineup for the show this year.
It was crazy. I mean, of course the I guess if you had to put someone as front and center as, like, the marquee thing, how would you put it, Christina?
What? Bruce Campbell?
FBC?
No, Bruce Campbell. No, Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell. He was, of course, the gin.
Yeah. I really wanted to go see Bruce Campbell. I think the last time he was in town, he was at, appearing at the mall or something. I mean, it was way back in the day.
Mall.
Yeah. I mean, and even then, the line was huge. I mean, you couldn't imagine. So I even knew, I was like, man, they're going to just be so packed. Do they even realize what kind of draw Bruce Campbell is and how much space it's going to take just for the people there just to see him?
That's what that line, I guess, was.
Oh, I know. You could not get in and out of the media room without having to fight people because I'm like, I just want to get into my room to get my stuff.
Now, my cousin Chuck really wanted to go see Bruce Campbell, and he had asked me if I would get up and go stand in line with him to get tickets, because you had to buy separate tickets to go see Bruce.
Right.
And I told him, I'll get back with you, and I'm glad I didn't, because I ended up having to work.
Right.
That would have really sucked if I had bought specific tickets in advance. but it would have been amazing to see Bruce, but that probably would have taken up most of your day, I would imagine.
A big chunk of it, yeah. It was pretty just nuts.
Apparently they did it in hour blocks of signing. You know, you bought your ticket in advance, and the ticket was good from 5 to 6 or whatever, so you'd have to be part of that group to get in and see him. And then they had separate photo ops and stuff.
Right.
Unfortunately, I didn't get in till fairly late on Sunday, and of course Bruce was gone. He was only there on Saturday, and the other one that apparently was a big hit was Norman Reedus. And he was no longer there in signing when I showed up, so kind of missed the two major ones, but everybody else was pretty much there.
You kept hearing security call to escort the Boondock / Walking Dead people to places.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine. And, I had actually geared up for this show. I watched both of the Boondock Saints movies that week.
See, I've not seen
either one
up
to the show, because I was thinking, I was really hoping to be able to interview them.
But
of course, my weekend was kind of thrown on its ear. but I was all prepped. I watched both the movies. still, there was, even coming in late on Sunday, there was still a lot to see.
It was
a great big thing. All sorts of dealers, and there were lots of authors there and artists and tons of celebrities and cool stuff to buy. So
there was so much stuff, I was proud of myself for having restraint not taking home with me.
Yeah, same here. I didn't buy any big ticket items. I bought a few things, but
nothing super huge.
There were some shinies that I would have liked, but I was a good girl and did not bring them home.
But we were there all weekend, and it was kind of cool because we got to meet and talk with.
I had a fabulous time.
It was pretty fun. The first 2 days were a little rough, because it was just Christina and I were there. You were, of course, working, and then Adam was. He was doing something and wasn't able to make it. So one of us, of course, stayed in the media room because we had all the damn gear.
Yeah.
So
don't want to leave your gear? Why not?
Yeah. Not
bad. It's only thousands of people walking around.
Right.
No kidding. So Christina ran around and just...
Recon.
Never underestimate the power of a determined geek girl. Let's just put it that way.
I worked it hard.
You rocked that Zoom H1.
I did. I talked to anybody that didn't have a line of people waiting to get an autograph.
And even if they did, you kind of did.
Well, yeah, depending on who it was, if there was only a few people in front of me, I mean, that's what you're there for. You're not there just to sit. You're there to talk to people and to learn things and see people and see things. And, yeah, you're not there to just sit. You're there to do stuff.
But, we got to meet Colin Ferguson, from Sheriff Jack Carter in Eureka.
He was lovely.
Hi, I'm Colin. I'm Colin. Everybody that came up, I'm like, they kind of know who you are, man.
Dude, we love you. That's why we're here.
We talked to him a little bit. Got in line and talked to Sean Astin a little bit. That was pretty cool. He tried to buy the Zoom. I kid you not. There's like a couple, two or three guests that we talked to and got bumpers from. Christina had her H1, and I had my H4, the Zooms, and they were just, the hell is that? That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, because Sunday was the only day we actually went out together to talk to people. the rest of the weekend, it was pretty much just me.
Yeah, yeah. Friday and Saturday, each day we kind of brought less equipment. Mm-hmm. So Sunday, it was just, I had my Zoom, just the Zoom, and she had her Zoom, and we were just...
Walking around.
Yeah. And doing all kinds of stuff.
Talking to random people, you know, in cool costumes, and yeah, I talked to a few people who were dressed very interestingly.
You did a lot of man on the street kind of
stuff. I did. Well, I figured, why not? That's why I was there.
So we also got to interview some folks. We got to, yeah, and it's kind of bad that you missed this one, but we got to talk to Andre Gower again, which mm-hmm. is like, you know, one of the first interviews we don't do a whole lot of them to begin with.
No.
But that was like one of the first things we did back in like episode 68-something, I think.
Wow. Absolutely charming.
Wolfman's Got Nards was the title of the episode.
Yeah. Unsurprisingly.
Yeah,
because you gotta love Monster Squad.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Hands
and,
down.
We'll run, I think we might have run it, or we will run the interview that Christine and I got to sit down and talk to him for a few minutes again on.
You talked, I croaked.
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't.
You got in some.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Talking about, there might be a reboot.
It's a theory.
He thinks of that.
It's a theory.
I make a joke, and he just gets this expression. He's like, yeah.
I talked to the intensely charming Ryan Lambert. That's all there is to it. He was just so nice. He loved my Doctor Who shirt. He's a total Whovian. And I had my Gallifrey Road shirt on with all the doctors going across Abbey Road.
Yeah.
And like he took off his sunglasses and he goes, "No way. No way." And he was literally having like a full on geek boy fan moment about my shirt. It was like, that's so cool. He was so lovely.
Yeah, that was a whole lot of fun. Christina just got all kinds of bumpers.
And you know what? And usually at a convention, there's usually somebody where you're like, I'm so disappointed. They're so not what I thought they were. Everybody was so nice.
Well, you were tentative about one of the celebrities. You were kind of like, I got to see if this is Andy Hallett syndrome.
Yeah, I was totally wrong. Corey Feldman, he comes into the room. In like these, you know, in sunglasses, and his coat's kind of like this spangly, bedazzled, jeweled coat, and he's got one of these like electric cigarettes going. And I'm thinking, oh man,
it had a really long cord on it.
He's not going to be nice. He doesn't.
Like an Eva.
He looks like he's kind of, I don't know if I want to be disappointed if he's egotastic or not. He was absolutely marvelous. I could not have been more impressed by, you know, he was so humble. It was so, I was so impressed.
I think if you get him out of the Michael Jackson leather jacket, then he's okay.
Right.
Well, one of the celebrities that you got to talk to, I didn't get a chance to speak with him, was at Dragon Con a few years ago. I think you missed getting, you know, since you haven't gone the past few years, you didn't get a chance to talk to him. But Yanto himself, David Lloyd.
I met him the first year he was there.
That's right. I can't remember if that was the year you went or not.
Yeah, yeah. And he was lovely as well. He always looks a little bit unsure. When you go up to the table, he kind of looks just a tiniest bit off kilter, like, are you going to be a freak or no? No, I was not a freak. I was very nice.
You bought a CD?
I did. I bought a CD because it's like anybody can get an autographed 8x10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but if he's got a band, if he's got something else that he's working on, like when James Marsters had his last mm-hmm. CD out, I bought that instead of a picture. So that's what I did for Gareth David Lloyd. And originally I like... you know, sight unseen. I didn't ask what kind of music it was, because if I asked and he said country, and I would be like, no thanks. I didn't want to be like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was like, and then I pop it in, and my iTunes thing, the iTunes thing reads it as, you know, it says metal. I'm like, oh, metal. Oh, that's worse than country. Aww.
Well, next time, run a magnet over it and see if it's metal or not.
But it's actually really good. It is. I was really impressed. So I'm like, it's all right. But I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be something I can't listen to. But, you know,
it's metal from England, it's different, right?
It's aluminium.
Stop. I mean, some of the songs are yelling at you, but some of the songs are really pretty, so it makes up for it. So I'm glad I bought it.
You should have had his table and James Marsters' table next to each other.
Yeah.
You make eye candy jokes the whole time.
Oh, wouldn't that have been wonderful?
Because if you're only a Buffy fan, you may not know, but James Marsters had a couple of episodes of one of the series of Torchwood.
Oh, and if you're a fan of James Marsters, look it up.
Yeah, if you ever wondered about Spike and Captain Jack fanfic,
you will not be sorry. It's nothing gratuitous.
No,
it's nothing bad.
No, not like his scene in the scene from the Golden Gopher Miracle Day.
Stop it. But I had a great time.
Who else did we get to talk to? Sala, John Rhys Davies.
Yeah, he was so nice. Cool.
Looking like a koala with a little beady.
Leave him alone. You're going to look like a koala someday yourself.
I probably. Well, no.
Making fun of him.
No. He was awesome.
How do you go from being Kingpin to being a dwarf?
Right.
Two extremes.
He's Da Vinci.
Oh, that's right. That really bad.
Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Oh.
With the really bad Thor. And
Rex Smith is Daredevil.
Rex Smith, my friend, mm-hmm. Rex Smith from mm-hmm. Pirates of Penzance, Rex Smith?
Yeah.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Street Hawk.
Ew.
Rex Smith?
Yeah.
He can read me the phone book anytime he wants.
We picked up I probably did because I did a little more damage. We really hit the Huna booth pretty good.
Oh.
You know, if you don't listen to our TARDIS Interruptus episodes, that's the site for Doctor Who merchandise that Professor Nick plugs all the time.
Who North America, Huna.com.
All kinds of stuff.
I had never
stuff.
Seen so much Doctor Who stuff. I couldn't believe it when I
saw
it.
It was like
that.
Xanadu. I walked in there going, oh my God, it's like Nirvana.
Nerdvana.
It really is.
So we hit that pretty good and picked up some things, but walking around, we found some other stuff. Christina really surprised me with something. Found it one of the booths in the hallway, actually.
I love you very much, but I had the best time just walking around on my own looking at stuff. Because it's mm-hmm. like, I just like, you know.
It's, at first I thought it was something from QMX I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess this is was a different license or something.
Diamond Select.
Yes, it's from Diamond Select. And it's a Inara statue from Serenity.
Ooh.
The Inara strikes where she's got that funky bow gun.
Mm-hmm.
The gun that they CGI'd in. And if you look really close, you can see it changing between a bow and a gun during the movie. Which is kind of cool. So they make it look like a bow, but it's not really. But it was normally like a $100 statue or something in
mm-hmm.
this booth. I got to see it after she had gotten the statue. I swear to God, it looked like an older mother sitting there with a neck beard.
Stop
her, her
it.
Her son, the neck beard.
Stop. He was nice.
He was. But that had, she was making him sell all his collectible stuff.
Oh.
It's kind of.
Well, it was.
It's what it looked like. I know it wasn't. But
it was far away, and all I could see was the orange sticker, but it didn't have a number on it. So I asked, I said, how much is the thing, and he said, hang on, I have to look it up. So he had this notebook with like everything, and so he's looking, and I'm thinking, okay, like if it's like, you know, $60, I'll get it, because it's like how much the QMX maquettes are.
Yeah.
And he's like, $25. I said, sold.
Yeah.
I said, okay.
Wow.
Done.
So Reagan's like, you want to buy another one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really nice. It's if you've seen the QMX or not the, yeah the QMX statue, that's like the bigger Kaylee that she's sitting on the engine block on.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of along those kind of lines. It's out in the QMX cabinet, out in the mm-hmm. living room. Never mind, it's no longer the Curio cabinet; it's a QMX cabinet.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was really nice. And then we didn't get a whole lot of other stuff outside the Doctor Who stuff, but we did pick up some art when we were running around. And actually, there's something that we were given that you need to take care of.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Someone had made their own movie. So this is looking at it. This looks like it's right up your guilty pleasures alley there, man.
Pezzies. All right. Pezzies.
Movie called Hacksaw.
Hacksaw.
But it looks like a guilty pleasures kind of movie.
Gotta appreciate the hand-drawn cover.
Always.
Hacksaw. Documentary of a psycho killer.
You have to check that out and let us know what you think.
We should probably all watch it together.
No.
Yeah, share the pain.
He did give it to us.
But we picked up some art. I think neat artist.
I think I linked it on the Pod Culture site already. If I didn't, I have to go back and fix it. Yes. Okay.
But this guy, we're walking along. You know how they had the artist alley and everybody has their posters and stuff up. But I was just struck by this guy's, it's simple colored line art.
I thought they were decals at first, like vinyl decals.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize they were art until I got up close on them.
Yeah, and we picked up, it's real simple, kind of neat looking geek line art stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's a bit of a twist to this artwork. Oh. You know which one I'm talking about now?
Yeah, I saw your posting on Facebook.
So we got one that's Doctor Who theme stuff. It's got a picture of the TARDIS, K-9, a Dalek, and Cybermen on it. It's
become a twisted game now.
And a really neat one of Jim Henson with a Kermit puppet.
You always see Kermit. You never see Kermit and Jim.
I'm like, cool. Oh, we got to get that. That's it. Yeah. That's too cool to pass up. Because they were like 3 for $20 or something like mm-hmm. that. $10 each or 3 for $20 kind of thing. I'm like, oh, I got to get 3 of them. What the mm-hmm. hell? And I saw a bunch of heroes. I'm like, I wonder if he's got any Green Lantern stuff.
I always ask. I always ask. Do you have any Green Lantern stuff?
And, of course, there is one.
There's another one on his website, too, that somebody commissioned.
Oh.
So you're going to have to look at his site and see the different one.
But, Christine, you want to kind of explain what the unique twist to this art is?
The line art that they use, they incorporate every letter of the alphabet into each drawing. So it's up to you to sit and find every letter in each drawing. And I found myself in the car on the way home from the con holding the bag with these prints in it, looking at the drawing on the bag, playing the game, trying to find all the letters, turning it this way and that way and seeing if I can't figure out. Because on the cover, it's a fishbowl. On the one side of the bag is a fishbowl. So here I was in the car with it in my lap trying to find all the letters. And it is just the most clever thing I have seen in a long time.
And, yeah, just looking at it, it doesn't strike you that these lines are letters at first. And then it's kind of like those magic dot pictures
where
you can't see the damn sailboat.
Mm-hmm. And then you unfocus your eyes, and then it's like, oh, wait, yeah, that's a Q. And that's
But it was really, really neat, and so we had to pick some of that up.
And he does requests and commissions and all kinds of stuff.
So we had a really, really good time.
I bought some hair sticks.
Yeah?
Because they are hard to find now. I don't know why. If some stupid kid used it as a weapon, and now they can't sell them in the store anymore, or what?
But yeah, they're just freaking chopsticks.
It's
basically
just like pretty, but they're more sturdy than chopsticks. They're harder, so they don't crack in your head. But they used to sell them at Claire's all the time, and I can't find them anywhere now. And especially in the summertime, I want anything I can get to get my hair off my face. But there was a place that had them, so I bought a set. It's like,
yeah, they're okay. Probably all in a warehouse somewhere with all the Boba Fett with their launching rocket packs.
Stand back or Mr. Fett gets it.
I mean, come on. And it's funny because it's like they're wooden. I'm like, well, at least if I get attacked by a vampire, I'll be set.
There you go.
Whip it out of my hair and go, bam.
There you go. Or if you're attacked by Alan Scott because it drinks powerless against wood.
Well, mm-hmm. he would probably like it because it's pretty and shiny, and he could put it in his hair.
Oh, no.
you went there.
You opened it.
Oh, she went there, didn't she?
You started it.
What you said, though. A whole new context.
And on that note, we are going to take a break from this con discussion and be back with more of Pod Culture right after I throw something at Glenn.
He's going to bleach his eyeballs now.
Hey, Glenn.
Yes, Brad.
Tell the listeners about this little contest of things that you got cooked up.
Yeah, we mentioned, an episode or two back that my cousin has released an ebook, and I'm helping him get the word out there, and he's been gracious enough to give away a few e-copies to some of our listeners. So if you guys are interested, if you like science fiction, fantasy, anything like that, if you're into reading an ebook, then send us an email. The name of the book is Mythical. It's by C.E. Martin. It's available on Amazon.com, Smashwords, and other places I can't remember. And
Dust Jacket Synopsis?
Basically, a super soldier is found in the desert. His body's desiccated, and some teenagers find him. And he comes back to life, and the last thing he remembers, it's like the 60s. He doesn't even know it's a modern day, or he doesn't know how he happened to wind up in the desert. And so we kind of figure out along the way what his mission was, what happened to him, how he ended up in the shape he was, and we get to see if he can complete the mission he was on against the really pretty amazing, unique foe that he's come up with for this book. It's a lot of fun. It's slanted a little more towards a young adult, but if you're a fan of like the old pulp fiction things, Doc Savage or The Destroyer or something like that, that's really what his background is, reading those types of pulp books. And so hopefully it'll cross over, you know, to the younger crowd that are into the young adult, and then also to the older crowd that still enjoys that sort of pulp fiction kind of action adventure.
Yes, and, lowercase pulp fiction.
Right.
Yeah.
All you got to do is drop an email and send it to contest@podculture.net and let us know that you're interested in checking it out.
Yeah, put Mythical in the subject line, and if you feel like it, you can write and tell us what sort of books you like or what sort of thing you're reading, recommendations to us or whatever, or, you know, why you think you might, you know, like this sort of book or whatever. And we'll just randomly give away a few free copies of the book.
And you can also read a sample on Amazon, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. You can definitely go there and read a chapter or so of the book for free and see if it's something you're into. And maybe read a better synopsis than the one I just made up off the top of my head.
Okay. And so, yeah, just drop us an email.
Yeah, drop us an email. And, you know, everybody feel free. You know, if you've got any sort of e-reader, if you're into that sort of thing, then, you know, definitely drop us an email and take a chance and you'll probably win a free book.
All right. And now back to the regular show. Wow. After that con chatter, it's time to wet our whistle a little bit and recharge the batteries with a little geek cuisine.
And what do geeks recharge with?
Mountain Dew. You got any Mountain Dew? yes, actually, we do have some Mountain Dew.
We do.
And we thought of Glenn when we got this.
Yes,
and there's a reason for that. Not only just because, you know, you and, you know, that refrigerator at your dad's is usually stocked quite full with Mountain Dew.
You're a connoisseur.
I am.
But it's also Batman Mountain Dew. Dark Berry. Mountain Dew with a blast of mixed berry. And it's a...
You know,
It's kind of a purpley blue in the bottle, but in the cups, it's friggin'...
No, hold it up. At the bottom, it's really dark.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the middle, it's kind of purple. And then at the top, it's blue.
It's crazy. It's like
very pretty.
Yeah. but it is mixed berry Mountain Dew, of course, tied in with the Batman Rises movie.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was such a Mountain Dew addict. and I've been trying to cut back and trying to cut back. And of course, then they have, you know, Halo do and World of Warcraft do, you know, and now Batman do. I mean, come on, that's just not fair.
Isn't that a country somewhere? Batman do.
Batman do.
Quickly to the bat toilet.
Christina rolls her eyes at Brad. Take a drink.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to get a 2-liter of this and put it on the shelf next to my Batman tortilla chips from the 1989
Just get a can.
Keaton
it'll take
movie.
Up less room.
Yeah, there's a story that we need to tell about those tortilla chips, I guess.
You make fun of him, but there are people who do worse things, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. I have no doubt about that. But
luckily, they're locked away safely.
When you're a geek of a certain age...
That's so mean.
Batman isn't, you know, Christian Bale. It's
Michael freaking Keaton.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom.
Yeah, and Glenn, you know, you're a big Batman fan, so there was all kinds of tie-ins for this Batman movie, which was pretty good.
It was a big deal back then.
Yeah.
89?
My insane goal at the time was... There were 300 licensed Batman products that came out with the Batman movie, and I had told myself I was going to get all 300 of them. I didn't, obviously.
How close did you come?
I don't even want to know. No, not that close. But
missed it by that much.
Yeah, I missed it by a couple hundred, I'm sure. But that was the insane goal at the time. But yes, they had Batman tortilla chips, and it's a nice black bag with the, you know, the clear bat symbol on it, you know, so you can see the chips inside, but you can still see the chips inside from 1989 because they're still there because I never opened it because the chips are bat shaped. So, you know, you couldn't see they're bat shaped if I ate them, not could you?
They will probably cut a bit now.
But they're little batarangs now. Stale tortilla batarangs.
But yes, we've done many a Mountain Dew on this show, so let's give the Batman Mountain Dew a shot here.
I need a diet one because this is tasty.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It's not overpowering. That's the thing. Because usually when it's a fruity flavor, there's so much of that fruity flavor, you're like, bleh. But this is really nice and smooth.
Yeah, this is pretty good stuff. You get a... kind of a hint of a blackberry there kind of at the end.
I'm still looking for somebody to help me design a recipe for a sonic screwdriver. And the color of this lovely blue soda would be perfect as like a base. So help me out here.
But see, you'd have to come up with a couple of different recipes.
The green one. And
yeah, you have, you know, the 9 and 10.
Well,
Doctor.
There is green Mountain Dew.
I know. Not so much right now, though. Well, I mean, Mountain Dew, regular Mountain Dew.
Real Mountain Dew. Yeah. Regular kinda, Mountain Dew.
But it's not more 11th. Yeah. 11th Dr. Green.
But this is tasty. And but, you guys are chugging, I'm going to take a moment to steal Brad's thunder and say how much I very much love the Batman Lego game for the Xbox 360.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Speaking of Batarang, I could die. I'm cute.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, but yeah, that was pretty freaking cool.
Pretty tasty. Yeah, I'm liking it.
You're gonna go home and have some Batman Dew and tortilla chips
and stay awake.
Yeah,
yeah,
forever,
forever.
So, you know, it's out now. Yeah, I would check your stores.
Where
pick
we get
it up.
Target, Walmart,
Target or Walmart, one of the two.
And you were saying the cans.
The cans. This is neat.
Cans at Target.
Okay.
They, you know, you see, there's all kinds of little goofy gimmicks with beers and stuff now. The cold-activated cans, you can do them with, like, just the right temperature because the mountains on the side of the can will change color or something. Well, there, I guess there's
and then,
that.
And then when you see the pink elephants, you know you've had enough.
You ain't had too damn many. I never got to point a beer. It tastes like shit. But they have cold-activated Batman cans with, like, the Bat logo from, you know, the latest modern trilogy of films now. It's
very cool.
Kind of cool looking.
Yeah, I may have to...
They run an end cap.
Yeah, Target right up the road, which they're closed now, but, you know, you work in
tomorrow.
The area.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Batman Dark Berry.
Do it. Yes. It's tasty.
Do it.
Do it.
All right. And we will be back with more pod culture right after we have some more Mountain Dew.
Love it.
Yeah. I'll take some.
Do you have strong feelings about Ferengi? So I think the Ferengi are great in DS9. They really fleshed them out, and you learn a lot about them.
You learn a lot of stuff that you don't want to know about them. They flesh them out to be annoying characters.
They are not that bad. Quark's pretty cool.
Do you like Star Trek fashions?
What about Jake Sisko? He has the coolest fashions.
Do I like the overalls the best or the little vest? It's really hard to pin it down.
Yeah, his outfits are fantastic. I love them all.
Do you feel like Deep Space Nine never gets the credit it deserves?
I think everyone gave up on it before it became its own show.
You know, myself included originally, and I'm glad I came back.
Yeah, I went away and came back, and the whole Dominion thing brought me back in. It's very good. It's got great characters.
It is, and the more I watch season one, the more I'm gaining a new appreciation of it.
If so, join us for the Gamma Quadrant, the only podcast dedicated to all things Deep Space Nine. We discuss the series episode by episode every week. Our podcasts are available on iTunes and on our website, gammaquadrant.libsyn.com. And Libsyn is Libsyn.
Well, it's about time to start wrapping things up here at Pod Culture. We've had a bit of an epic convention discussion and just all kinds of fun stuff that
it was wonderful.
On.
I want to go back.
Yeah.
Next year.
No, sure. Now.
Well, we can go back to where the con was.
So there's so much I still wanted to do.
Yeah. So final thoughts, Glenn?
A few things I didn't get to earlier. I met a nice guy named Todd Boyer, actually.
Cool.
That's B-O-Y-E-R. Yeah. He said he wanted to do a Christian book, but he didn't want it to be preachy. He wanted it to be accessible. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, you're a Supernatural fan, aren't you? And he said, yeah, he's a Supernatural fan. So if you like Supernatural, you're going to like this stuff. It's called The Consuming. It's the first book in the Demon Soul saga.
Ooh.
And it's about a pair of angels that are apprentices to some major angels that you're aware of that were in the wrong place at the wrong time, end up being banished, becoming demons. And they're buddies for thousands of years going around, and they like to inhabit people, go out to the bar, get drunk, waste all their money and all the stuff, and just go out and party all the time. And one of them inhabits this guy, but doesn't realize his faith is as strong as it is, and he gets trapped inside him and can't get out, and he's not in control. So this guy ends up having, like, fallen angel powers.
Oh, wow!
You know, because he's got this, you know, angel soul in him. And but the other angel goes to hell and goes to talk with other demons and things to try to figure out the way to get his buddy out, because he misses his drinking buddy, you know? And this book focuses on one of those fallen angels, and then the other book focuses mainly on the other angel and stuff. And he was a really nice guy to talk to and stuff, and I happened to be there when he was telling the story about how he met John Rhys Davies and was telling him about it. And he was really interested and was saying, hey, is there a role in this for Sean Astin, maybe? And he took a copy of it to read on the plane on the way back.
I was going to say, I'm thinking, A, I want to read the book, and B, I want to see the movie.
Yeah. So who knows? We might see John Rhys Davies, Sean Astin, The Consuming.
Can he read the audiobook, please?
That would be awesome.
That would
That's
be so,
what he should have done. He should have talked to him
about
reading the
audiobook. That would be so awesome.
Ooh,
yeah. That would have been awesome.
He could read that phone book.
So if you go to facebook.com/theconsuming.
I'm going to do that.
You can find out more about it. And I got a little autographed copy of the cover.
Oh,
there,
cool.
So pretty cool.
So is the book done, or is you just trying to remember?
Yeah, the book's done.
Okay.
The book's done. And I'm sure you can find out how to get them. Okay. I don't know if it's on Amazon or whatever, but I'm sure if you go to the Facebook page, you'll find out more about it.
There's got
to
be e-books, I'm
that
sure.
That sounds really
good.
I
would think so. Yeah, it sounded really neat. It sounded really neat. And I picked up a little something funky. You're like, what is this? Did you see the guy selling this stuff?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. The guy that had all the radiation detectors.
Yeah.
And crap.
Thank God, because Like, I would go into the dealer's rooms, and you know how you get all kind of turned around,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, which way? Like, and you come out, and there's a zillion people on this side of you, and a zillion people on that side of you, and I'm only 4'11", and I can't see over anybody. And, like, the only thing, I could see the radiation sign.
Yeah.
I'm like, follow the radiation sign to the, you
know. Said, I'll meet you at the fallout shelter.
Exactly.
Because he was selling fallout shelter signs.
It was really interesting.
Yeah. All of his stuff is like old civil defense stuff.
Yeah.
And I got his card. It's forbiddenknowledge.info. And this was his first convention.
Wow.
And he came here. He did okay. He said, I talked to him about it on the last day. He said he did okay. He's going to do some other more like science fiction conventions. He'd asked me about doing some comic conventions. I told him I didn't think they would go quite as well as something like this would go.
Because
mm-hmm. He had on like his radiation detectors and stuff, you know, zombie detector and stuff to try to get the zombie fans. And he said mainly he was selling gas masks. That's what a lot of people were buying. I told him, yeah, probably for costuming purposes.
The Doctor Who thing.
No, gamer room.
Oh, boo.
That's good. But he had Geiger counters there.
He did.
He had all sorts of,
he had all the, like, the food packs, like the dehydrated food packs, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, he's a...
Tactical bacon.
He's a reseller for all the different, you know, survivalist foods and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, if I'd known, but I didn't really plan on, the money to buy that and also haul it around.
Originally, I mean, I'm thinking, okay, geez. This is all fake stuff because it just looks cool, you know, with the whole zombie bath salt thing.
Yeah.
But, like, when I was actually looking at the stuff, mm-hmm. like, it's really real stuff that he was selling. Real viable.
He had
stuff.
A couple of them in the front that were cheap, that were non-working. They were broken items that mm-hmm. he was selling just for costuming.
As props. Yeah.
Yeah, as props. But I got this dosimeter, and it comes with this cool, it's all, you know, yellow metal. The dosimeter looks like a little pin light that would mm-hmm. be in you put in your pocket. And what it does is, you do put it in your pocket, and you wear it around for the day, and you look through it like a little telescope, and there's a little thing showing you how many rotogens of gamma radiation you've been exposed to.
So you don't have to be the Hulk.
So if you're Bruce Banner, you're fucked.
Yeah, you don't want to wear this. Off the chart. And then this funky little yellow box, you put a D-cell battery in it, and you unscrew a little thing on the left here, and then you push the little thing. It looks like a little pin. Pin light.
It looks like you're putting a freaking mission control launch thing.
It looks like I'm going to detonate something. But you push that down on there, and it activates a light so that you can read it instead of holding it up to the sun.
Yeah.
And then there's a little dial, and what you do is you dial it back to zero at the end of the day, so before you go out again. And that way you're always starting at zero, so you can tell how much radiation you've been exposed to.
Wow.
You know, if you thought there was a lot of radiation out, you could run out and set this down and then come back and bring it in, and you would know how much you're getting per amount of time.
A string. It's probably safer.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like you said, I hope you never have to use it, but it works.
But that's cool.
So, yeah, I went to the convention and bought a radiation dosimeter. I wanted the...
you really are turning into Burt Gummer.
Yeah, there is that. I wanted the Geiger counter, but it was $180.
Woo!
Which may not be a bad deal for a Geiger counter.
You
but,
spent more on worse.
Yeah, I have. I have, but I told myself I wasn't going to spend much. Right. So this is only $40.
Imagine coming home to Carly going, look what I bought.
Yeah.
Geiger counter.
For what exactly? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this guy, radiation detection equipment from forbiddenknowledge.info.
It was really cool.
And he was a nice guy, and he was very knowledgeable about all the stuff. He knew how it all worked, and it all came with manuals and everything.
That's
so
really cool.
Got all the manuals for how to use it and everything. So like I said, hopefully I won't have to. But if so,
ready
I don't know
go.
That I'm dying from radiation.
I always say
everyone else will just die.
I even told my dad today, I said, if the zombie apocalypse comes, we're going to Glenn's house.
No kidding.
If we can make it across the bridge. If they haven't blown the bridges yet, we're going to Glenn's house.
Ain't that the truth? Are they enclosed one down or a barge runs into one
or
something?
Yeah, which bridge? Which is left? There are no bridges.
If we can afford the tolls.
Right.
Jeez. When they don't even.
Bring it on.
I got to tell them they're going to have to just use the helicopter and pick me up. I'm
like
not driving to work
sky.
Anymore. And the last but not least, there was an artist there that Carly and I last year bought 3 pieces from him. I don't know if you remember, they look like little demon, little crabs from hell,
yes,
or something.
I saw them.
That guy was there and had some amazing pieces.
Mm-hmm.
There were some that were really neat that were like a big dragon egg with a wing sticking out and the head starting to come out of it and stuff. He just does amazing stuff. And I did pick up a fourth piece of his original art.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty wicked looking. I'll show
you
guys.
You have to post a picture on Facebook.
Yeah, I will. I'll post
dragon,
it on Facebook.
Call it Daenerys.
Now, this one looks like a demon crab from hell.
Nice.
This looks like. With a little mouth. It's just funny looking.
It's got teeth.
But, yeah, it does. It's teeth. So I'll post it on the Facebook page. And I also took a couple pictures, not many, but a couple pictures of people's costumes at Derby City Comic Con. And I'll post those on there as well. So people know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But while you guys are talking, I'll show you the picture.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So final thoughts, Christina?
Go to the convention nearest you. Ooh, that is a demon crab from hell, but he looks awesome. I had a great time at Fandom Fest / Fright Night Film Fest. I didn't get a chance to enjoy any of the Fright Night Film Fest part of it, and I didn't really get a chance to do a lot of the, you know, there was so much going on that there's no way to see everything. So we were lucky enough to be kind of home-based around the stuff that I wanted to see, which was the celebrities and the merchandise.
Holy crap, that is one ugly piece.
But
ugly demon crab from hell.
I have a question about a trend that I saw in the dealer's room.
Right.
What is it about mutilated teddy bears that is so popular? I saw 3 different tables.
You saw that booth?
Of mutilated teddy bears. Like, horridly mutilated teddy bears. And it just broke my heart. I wanted to take them all home and fix them up. I couldn't bear it. No pun intended. I just couldn't handle it. I'm like, I hope, like, I know Brad's going to walk past this whole section.
Yeah, because there was one that was a koala.
He's going to go all PTSD. You know, and I
do like koalas. They're cute.
And I went, no, I
and
even.
They're crabby little bastards, too.
Well, the thing is, I was going to rescue him before you saw him until I found out he was $80. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Not for $80.
And then what? Sew him back together?
Well, I would fix him up. I would do. I would go all Dark Man and fix him up.
The good Dark Man, not the crappy one with Larry Drake.
Right. The handsome Dark Man who's gonna marry me, but I love Liam Neeson.
Qui-Gon, who went out like a punk?
Shut up, you're just jealous.
Just don't go skiing.
No, but I had a fantastic time, and I can't wait until next year.
Glenn was wanting to know about the don't go skiing with him.
You're mean. You're just mean.
Oh, yeah, I'm that. You live with me. What does that say about you?
I'm a glutton for punishment.
Probably so. I don't have So, anything else?
Not that I can think of. I'm so worn out from this past weekend. Like, there was so much to see and do and look at and people to talk to, and there'll be interviews forthcoming and all kinds of cool stuff.
Well, you got, because I'm sure she doesn't listen to the show, but you got one other cool thing for your friend.
Yes. Luke Perry was at the convention. And I am ashamed to say that I have never seen a whole episode of Beverly Hills 90210. Even though that was in my era of growing up, I was watching MacGyver and Knight Rider and Quantum Leap.
There you go. Good.
I wasn't watching Beverly Hills 90210.
I've never seen an episode either.
The only thing I knew about Luke Perry was that he was Pike in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie. That was the only thing I knew about Luke Perry.
The worst Buffy thing.
No, I don't care. I loved it.
Worse than Beer Bad.
No, I loved it. And he never had anybody at his table. So I went over and I asked him, I said, you know, we have a podcast and we're set up in this media room. If you've got time throughout the day, if you'd like to come in and talk to us. He goes, you know what? I've only recently found podcasts on the internet. He goes, I had no idea this whole community was out there. And it's just he got so swamped with stuff he didn't have time. But on Sunday, I caught up with him again and he did a bumper for Elizabeth. I said, my friend Elizabeth. She's a huge fan, I said, and our birthday celebration is coming up. I said, can you do like a little thing just saying, hi, this is Luke Perry and happy birthday, Elizabeth. And he did it.
That's
he
awesome.
He was so lovely and he did it. So I can't wait to play it for her. She's going to freak out.
Yeah, just don't play it for her while she's at work. Because I work in the same office.
Oh no, I'm gonna.
And it's liable to shatter all the windows on the our floor.
Wherever you are, wherever you live, if you hear this high pitched shrilly sound, that'll be Elizabeth squeeing herself to death.
So I guess that would be I guess your equivalent of talking to Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah, and the squee you heard coming from Louisville.
Or any other doctor.
I have to say, I'm really impressed with how gracious a lot of these stars
are
putting up with some of the fans and the things they do.
That's why I tried not to be weird with anybody. I did my best to be good with everybody and not be pushy or weird or anything like that. I think I successfully accomplished that.
She was having all kinds of success. Running around with her little Zoom, it looked like a sonic screwdriver.
Well, because I was nice to people. I wasn't weird. I wasn't freaking out. I wasn't, it's like with Bruce Campbell. The only thing with Bruce Campbell I've ever seen was that...
Bubba Hotep?
No, Jack of All Trades.
Oh. I'm sorry.
That's the only thing I've ever
seen. It wasn't bad.
That's the only thing I've ever seen him in.
I bought it.
I almost bought it, even though I couldn't watch it. I almost bought it.
That's the only thing I've ever seen him in. So, I wasn't starstruck. And, he's just that guy was on that show. I have no idea, really, who he is.
Briscoe County Jr.
I'd never watched it.
Yeah, we got that, too.
Yeah.
So, it's I tried not to be weird. I tried to be nice to everybody, and especially to the help, because they were just all haggard, just trying to keep up with everything. Mm-hmm. So, I was just trying to be as nice to people as I could, and that gets you far. If you're nice to people, it gets you in where you might not otherwise get in.
And being a cute geek girl does not hurt either.
I tried really hard to be charming.
Because I can guarantee you, had Glenn and I been just as nice, there is no way we would have had the success that you had.
I don't know.
That's why next year I'm going in drag. Just kidding.
I'm picturing the look on Carly's face.
I'm trying to think how many seconds till the pictures are on Facebook.
3.2 if there's a lag in Wi-Fi.
What kind of internet connection we can get.
I'm not shaving.
I don't think it has anything to do with being a geek girl. I think it just has to do with having the right attitude.
I'm going to say quite a bit of that had a lot to do with being a geek girl.
Well, I'm glad I was help.
So any other final thoughts, guys?
No, just can't wait till next year and all the other shows. I've talked with Ken from the Fright Night Film Fest, I can't give away too much, but there may be another new type of convention coming next year as well.
Oh, next year.
I'll let you know.
That's a long time away.
Yeah. We're already halfway through this year.
I know, but I had so much fun this weekend. I want to do it again.
Then do it again.
I want to do it again. I can't do it. I can't do the girl voice.
Yeah. My final thought there, I guess there was one last thing I picked up, and Carly may probably mug me for this.
Uh-oh.
They only had one. Otherwise, I would have gotten her one.
But I bought a Transformer while I was there.
Surprise.
Yeah, because,
old listeners, surprise.
Yeah.
But it's a USB key that's actually a Transformer. Now, old school Transformers fans know that Ravage was one of Soundwave's little cassettes that popped out and did transformed. Well, this is a Ravage, but he's a USB key. So I guess it kind of bringing it into the modern age a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool.
And, it's an 8-gig USB key that is a freaking Transformer. It just flips around and... it looks very much like the cassettes from...
Yeah.
Cassette, that critter back in the day.
I'm liking now the trend of the pretty USB, thumb drives. They had some at that same table that were like pendants that were beautiful.
Oh, yeah, some jewelry.
Yeah, it's like really, wow. Functional and beautiful. You can be a geek girl and be pretty.
So I picked that up. That was actually, it was only like 10 or 12 bucks or something
and
like
it,
that.
And it's what, how many gigs? And
it was 8 gigs, yeah. So it was around roughly that kind of price.
You would have, yeah.
So I'm like, it's kind of cool.
One last thing, that artist I was talking about, I didn't mention his name. It's with Ultra T Studios, and his name is Joseph Gubocki, G-U-B-O-C-K-I.
I'm going to have to look that up.
And he's the guy that did the all the weird little crazy,
critters.
Scary critter things.
I
yeah,
like it.
Some really neat, and they're all handmade and hand fired and painted and everything. And
there were so many things I wanted. There were so many steampunk things that I wanted to take home with me.
Yeah, there was quite a variety of really nice looking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Steampunk, when goths discover brown.
I loved it. I loved the jewelry.
Well, I guess if that is about it for this fantastic episode.
If you went, let us know.
Yeah. Send pictures if you got any good pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, let us know. Send them in. We'll get some of them up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, so, cool.
All right, and we are out of here.
Cheers.
Be seeing you.
Next time on a very special episode of Pod Culture TARDIS Interruptus.
Hello, my name's Peter Davison, and you're listening to TARDIS Interruptus.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us, feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.